what it is to be on mission together. We've looked at unity, what it is to be unified in Christ. And everybody's like, yes, I know what it is to be in union with Christ. When I believe in Him, I trust in Him, we respond to Him. There is something that happens. I'm unified with the God of the universe. This is an amazing mystery how this happens. And we've looked at worship. Vinny did an amazing job last week. You know, unity that brings us into the place where it's like, Jesus, only you could do this. Then worship, we get to express that. Jesus, only you could do this, and only you've done this in me. But what about mission? Where it's only Him who can do this through us. Only Him. When you think of the word mission, what comes to mind? Being missional. Made for mission. What comes to mind? Sometimes we quickly depart from the union of God. I'm completely dependent on you for everything because I could not save myself. You saved me. And then we come into worship and we say, God, I'm now expressing that outwardly. And I'm talking about the worship of our lives in any place and in any scenario, not just on a Sunday. But our lives declare, God, only you have done this. I want to tell everyone about it. But even in mission, it's about what God does in us and through us. We don't now take off and have our own attempt. Right, felt the union of God, feeling comforted. I've felt the worship of God, the reality of His presence. I'm in His presence, and now I leave that and go and do something else. Maybe that came to mind for you. Now I've got to get on with the job. It's actually, we never leave Him. We abide in Him. We remain in Him. We talked about the vine and the branches. We talked about the reality of His worship and the truth of how we do that, because missional life is different. And thinking about the vine and the branches, it's like the Holy Spirit connects us to the vine, Jesus. And when we remain in the vine, we get stronger at our connection. I wonder this morning, before we get into the text, we're going to read out of John 16 again. But before we get into that, I wondered, how's your connection with God? I mean, having a conversation with Phil Cashman about, but what type of connection do we have? What type of connection is this? You know, is it the plug and play? Is it independent? I like having Jesus there as the supply for my life, that when I want to plug in, I plug in. And when I want to plug out, I plug out. I don't know if plug out's a word, really. But, you know, am I an independent person who's actually, I know the supply's there, but I use it when I need it? Am I like our broadband? Intermittent. It is plugged in, but it doesn't seem to deliver the full flow at all times. I mean, you can even measure it on an app now, you know, the ups and downs of, are you getting the full flow of the effect? Is something stopping it? Is the cabling a little corrupted, corroded, challenged? Is it to the node or to the, you know, these sort of things, right? Are we intermittent in our connection with God? Does it drop out regularly? The plug's in, but the cord's a little crusty. Or are we integrated, hardwired in? I love that image there because it's alongside of others, entwined with others, integrated, hardwired, getting the full effect, sharing, or God sharing everything He has with us all the time in full effect, and we can't stop it. You know, two of those you sort of have control over, you know. If I ring my broadband provider, they believe they've got control over it, but really they're just measuring it, you know? Sorry, Vodafone. I told them I'll do that one day. Integrated means that we are locked in. We receive everything from Him and we are intertwined with others. We know we are not alone. Today, on a Sunday when we come together, it's a picture of integrated reality. People coming together, locked in on God, and receiving the full flow. Receiving all that God wants to share with us. Jesus is unlimited in His desire and limitless in His ability to share everything with you. We're going to read that today. It's just the choice we make about our connection. Connection is really important. Not just to hang on to the vine and be connected, but for mission, when things are flowing out through us and we're bringing the fruit of joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit that others look to. You are a sent one if you've believed in Christ. You are not just one who is known, you are sent. When Jesus declared this to his disciples and to everyone who was going to come beyond him, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Just in case you were wondering about his jurisdiction, all authority in heaven and on earth has now been given to him. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Remember, we've been reading about Jesus' walk with the disciples and the things that he was commanding them. They weren't even able to completely remember it all, but they were watching him declare things of the kingdom, a new kingdom that was coming, a new reign for their lives and for others. He wanted them to share that with everyone else. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't leave you to do the mission. I am with you." And the disciples must have been perplexed. "How are you going to be with me? You say you're going away. You're going to a cross. You're saying all these declarations, and then you're throwing all these commands out there about how we should live strong and courageous. But what about when you're not there?" That's a very good question, and one that we get answered in understanding the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit's work is needed at the unity that we have with Christ, the union, the moment of salvation, the grafting into the blind. It is needed as we start to share and receive what God's saying as a Christian. But it's also needed for the missional reality of the fruitfulness of God. It's needed for everything we do. We're going to read in John 16, and we're going to start by opening up the scripture and looking at what he says about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came because we are members of Christ who are on a mission. The Holy Spirit brings about all that Christ has done in our lives. We can sing great songs to God about what he's done, you know, in a corporate sense, but he wants to make it personal. A lived reality for every person in this room. And before I read this, I just got to make you aware, as has happened in the last 2 weeks, as a community, as someone who's coming to this room, even if you're a visitor, Union of God 3 weeks ago was not just for the most holy people. It's become for every people. Worship was not just for the people who stand up the front here. It's for all the people. And today, it would be weird if God departed from that theme. Mission is not for the raging evangelists only. It is available for all people. And so listen intently. Don't chop out now and go, "I'm not a missional person." If you are a member of God and his family, you are inherently united with him, a worshiper of him, you magnify him, and you are missional. You are sent. You are known. And so let's tune in. Lord, as we read this scripture, we pray that you would enlighten our hearts, you would reveal yourself to us, and you would open up what you want to say by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's go to John 16, verse 1. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "I have said all these things to keep you from falling away." He shared everything with them about what's going to go on. Could they comprehend it? No. But he shared it anyway, because they're his friends. "They will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering a service to God." Things will get pretty twisted, guys. You're going to need to know that you're entwined with me. "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you..." Sorry, I think he's offering a service to God. Verse 3, "And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me." So Jesus has been talking about the importance of knowing the Father and knowing the Son, and now he's coming to talk about the power of knowing the Holy Spirit. It's all the Trinity, the power of knowing how they operate, that is so important. And he says "But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you." The interesting thing is this: when is it you think the hour comes? When it's most comfortable and fine, What hour is he talking about? He's talking about the hour of his death, the hour of his crucifixion, the hour where there will be denials, betrayals, all of these sort of things going on around them. And it's going to be messy. If they trust in their own understanding, it's going to get warped. And some of it did get a little bit warped, right? But what he's reminding them is, I will send one who is going to deliver something. So he says, goes on in verse 4 and says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. You're comfortable because I was here. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Sometimes we're more concerned about what's close to us than what's going to be in front of us, and there's a mission ahead. But because, now in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's like tag team relay. You know, the Father sent the Son, and now the Son's going back, and now he's going to send the Spirit. And they all glorify one another for how they operate and what they do. They've known this for eternity, but now they're sharing it with us. In verse 8, and when he comes, he's got a purpose. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So we've got Jesus here revealing the plan. We've got the Spirit who's going to help remind them of the plan, the big picture, what's going on. And we've got the Father who's actually the whole time restoring all things. And he's wanting to remind them of some key things that they will know. Hey, you're not the ones to try and convict everybody. The Holy Spirit will be doing that. As part of the triune God, he will be the one bringing them to a realization that sin is governing their life and Christ could be. He's the one who's going to bring about an understanding that their self-righteousness looks very different to the righteousness of God. And it's because Jesus was from the Father, from heaven, from the glorious one, that there's a big difference between righteousness in doing the rules and the right things and the righteousness of God that says that he is the one who is worthy of all our praise and honor and glory. But he also reminds them very clearly that the ruler of this world who once had power, that we now seek first the kingdom of God because we can. When before he ruled and reigned and his destructive kingdom, which brought about calamity and challenge, is now judged. We need to know we win, friends. Sometimes that's the only thing we need to know. You'll win if you hold on to what Christ has done. But it's interesting that the Holy Spirit has to come and deal with the same things in people that Jesus was dealing with around him before his death and his resurrection. He was constantly dealing with people who didn't believe in him. He did signs, wonders, miracles. He did all these things, and yet they still would not believe. Some would still not believe, but some believed. The Holy Spirit knew he would be coming and helping us to deal with people's unbelief. And he would open their eyes. He knew that he would be dealing with outright self-righteousness. I'm a pretty good person. Why do I need God? I try to do the right thing. Everybody does the wrong thing sometimes. You heard that? It's not a comparison of goodness here. There is no comparison under the light of the goodness of God, who loves, cares, and is pure in his intention towards us. The Holy Spirit needs to bring us to that understanding and has brought many of you to that understanding. The Holy Spirit also reminds us about the future. The enemy's been judged. The reason why we can read Revelations 19 with such confidence is because we know that the future of the saints is to stand in eternal glory with God and be with him in the way that he intended, and that the enemy will not have a part of it. He goes on in verse 12 and he says, I still have many things to say to you. Can you imagine Jesus? He's full of all these things. He's like, man, the time's getting short and I need to say all these things. It's like a preacher at the 30th minute. There's still all these things to say to you. And yet I can't convey all that's in my heart, but I'm thankful Because the Holy Spirit will come. And he says, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What a relief. You know, as we hear things together on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever it is that we are communing together, we might not be able to get everything we're feeling that God is saying, but God's Spirit will remind us. And even if you've got the best memory in the house, you need remembering by the Spirit. He will remind you. And he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. This promised one, the Holy Spirit, carries a clear purpose and intention in his heart. I love that the Father honors the Son. The Son glorifies the Father for what he's done. The Spirit comes with a clear intention and motivation. He doesn't say, here's my moment. He says, here's the moment where I get to reveal what Jesus has done to spread the good news of the gospel. Jesus was 1 to 12 disciples, really, in his engagement. And the Holy Spirit was coming to make this a worldwide, expansive message that could be carried to every heart, in every place, by every believer. That is the mission of God. But let's look at the personality of the Holy Spirit that is actually talked about here. This Holy Spirit that we're talking about, the Holy Spirit who came from heaven, is full of truth. There is no lie in him. Therefore, he can bring belief. He's a messenger. He's carrying the message. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. What message he's carrying to us and what message is coming through us. Really, really important. He's a witness. He saw what was happening before time. And now he is seeing what is happening in our time. He's got the perspective of eternity and how good it is and how Jesus is a part of it all. He magnifies Christ and he distributes exactly what's needed to us from the Father. Direct delivery, right? It's not like Uber. Is not unreliable. There's not a mediator in between. He's coming directly to you. Directly. If the Father says it, he does it. He speaks it. Isn't that amazing? You've got a direct line of communication with the Father. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is to share everything that Jesus has done with us. There's a shared connection, there's a shared response, there's a shared mission that Jesus is saying, over to you guys, and the Holy Spirit will be with you till the end of the age. And then we're all going to be together. And we're going to celebrate all that God has done in our time. It's a rescue mission. And as we get rescued, we get restored and brought into and become those who are restorers ourselves. We work in and through what God is doing. The Holy Spirit's work is very clear. Unification, always bringing things together in Christ. Glorification of Christ, always giving him the glory. Something happens, man, God, you are amazing. Look what Jesus has done. And he's also the one who is identifying us with Christ, reminding us, hey, you are of him. You are of Christ. You are from him. You are no longer from the world. You are no longer orphans. You are part of this. You get to share in this. You're not even servants. You are friends. And he wants to share everything. And you and the Holy Spirit also does the multiplication. Is there anything he's not involved in? He's involved in unification, glorification, identification with Christ, and the multiplication through Christ. He's involved in every part. He is the administrator. He's the implementer. He wants to walk things out with you in the same way that Jesus is desperate to see you carry everything that he has made available to you. Isn't this good news? He releases us from sin. He reveals when we think we're a little bit pridefully righteous. He regenerates us to see, actually, I am living for a kingdom that will never end. And the enemy has been defeated. It changes the way that we engage everything. The Holy Spirit's work is to be the helper of the saints and the convictor of the world. I think sometimes Christians can get that around the wrong way. We think it's our job to convict the world, you know, and sometimes to help the saints. It's actually, I need the helper as a saint. And the world, they will be convicted in the same way that I was, that the Holy Spirit would come and he will convict their hearts. We have a part to play, and we're getting to this. But as a member of Christ, isn't it amazing I can say to you, if you've believed in Jesus, as a member of Christ, as part of him flowing, sharing, knowing, outworking the power of the gospel in your life just by remaining in him, you get to walk in the freedom of what God has said for your life and bring it to others. Stay connected. Be connected in a way that's meaningful and powerful. He's wanting to share all things, the unity of Christ, the glory of Christ, the identity of Christ. But he does seem to make a point that the motivation will matter. It's God's will. It's not about what you've done, which we all go, thank goodness. Jesus coming, I'm relieved from what I've done, and I'm given the power of what he's done. But there's part of that that also says, you know, actually it's not my will be done. It's his will be done. In the moment of receiving his finished work, we actually say, my work's finished. I am now about his work, the work of the Holy Spirit in me and through me and towards others. What's that? Unity, glorification of Jesus, identification with Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives. He releases us from sin. He helps us with righteousness. He reminds us that the ruler of this world is judged. It's also God's way. It's not just God's will. God's way is his mercy. And we're like, yes, Lord, I need mercy. And he's like, cool, I'll take you at your word. And now it will be my will. But it's also God's way. It's not about what we come to offer him. We learned about this last week in worship. It's not about what I'm bringing as an offering. Like Cain and Abel. You know how good your offering. Mine's better. I was here earlier. I was later because I was praying. You know, what sort of offering are you bringing? You know, it's not about what type of offering we are bringing. It's about the heart of the offerer. There's a motivation here. The Holy Spirit, his only desire, his only heart is to glorify Jesus. What's your intention? When the Holy Spirit aligns us, it's just to be heart of an offerer, that Jesus would receive glory. That's aligned with the Spirit. Not how big's your offering. Whoops. Because in Romans 3, 23 and 24, it helpfully says to us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every offering that we try and bring is going to fall short. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So as good as your offering is, his gift is greater. It's the great equalizer. Bring what you have and he'll exchange it for what he's given. Isn't that amazing? It was really hard to take when people who had a lot of things to give, talents, gifts, and whatever, you know, that Jesus used to speak with them and they're like, hey, I want to deliver something to you. And he's like, no, you can't deliver anything to me. I'm delivering everything to you. If you can't share fully in me, if you can't receive fully from me, there's going to be a problem here. So he says to the rich young ruler, just go and sell all that stuff. And then we can get back to me sharing to you. And he went away very sad because he owned a lot. Again, it's the heart. Anyway, just some thoughts. Jesus wants to be magnified and glorified. And so we align with the Holy Spirit. And we're like, it's not about the offerer. It's about the heart of the offerer. But also God's work, as we look at mission that regenerates us and commissions us for Christ's purpose, it makes us like fruit in Christ's hands. But we become discerning like God. In his heart, he discerns and tells us this is what's right, this is what's not right. We don't lean on our own understanding to do that. We don't look on the opinion polls of social media. We go to the Holy Spirit And we say, Holy Spirit, help us discern that if the ruler of the world is judged, who is righteous? What is right? And we want to walk in that. The Holy Spirit is so helpful for us to be able to deliver that. So in verse 23 of chapter 16, I'm going to start from the part where he says, truly, truly, I say to you. If Jesus doubles down on truly, you know it's a big point. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name, but ask and you will receive that your joy might be full. So if our motivation for mission is aligned with the Spirit, if the Spirit aligns us, we ask anything in his name that's going to magnify, glorify, and identify with Christ, the Father's there. And up until this time, they'd ask Jesus for everything. Feeding the 5,000, they're like, what are we going to do for lunch? Jesus, love your preaching. What are we going to do for lunch? A lot of people here are going to be looking to us. What are we going to be doing? Up until then, they'd look to him for everything. We're in a storm. Jesus, why are you sleeping? Get up. Seriously, we're all having a meltdown. There's a meltdown moment. It's not a sleeping, lay down moment. He comes up and he says, why? What are you asking me? Up until that point, he'd been the one they'd gone to. Now he's saying, no, because of what's going to happen, now you're going to be able to ask the Father in my name. Because the Father honors my name. And you're going to be able to ask him. If your motivation is pure and the Holy Spirit has come and he's directed your ways and now you know what the mission is, because he shares all things with his friends, then we're going to be in a place where you can ask him directly and he's going to do it. Isn't that incredible? So we can pray like James. God, I open my heart. God, I see that you might be wanting to do this among us, and if it be your will, let this happen. Jesus has overcome the world. Verse 25, he says, I have said these things to you in a figures of speech, which means illustrations. But the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Big revelation. It's not just me that loves you. Yes, I do, but the Father loves you, and he wants to be involved in your relationship. And I do not say to you that I'll ask the Father on behalf, for the Father loves him. He loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. This is a big moment. I came from the Father. This is Jesus expounding the gospel right here in this verse, in verse 28. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. I am completing my mission, and yours begins. This is the whole plan, friends. I came from him. You've believed that. And now I'm going back to him so you can now tell everyone about this. The mission of Jesus was summed up in verse 28. And his disciples said, as they should respond, now you are speaking plainly. Isn't it amazing? Jesus reveals the gospel plan and now they say you're speaking plainly. And not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. The evidence of God is God's love for them. That's the evidence of God. So when we're on the mission field engaging our families, our friends, workplaces, school drop-offs, wherever you are, you are actually expounding the critical element of God's love. That is the evidence of the gospel, that God's love has taken root in your life, that you know the Father loves you, that you know that Jesus died for you, you know that there is a reality of the Holy Spirit coming to help you. The three-part harmony is with you everywhere you go. But there's this moment where the disciples are there and they're believing he's come from God, and Jesus has to answer them. And I don't know if Jesus does sarcasm, but he does do a bit of a moment here. And he says in verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe after all we've been through? It's only when I do this one liner and you realize that now I love you, now you're going to believe. Now you believe that I'm unquestionable. Imagine Jesus, like he's the personification of God on earth, and they thought he was questionable. Everybody else was questioning him. Everybody else had an opinion. Jesus is okay with our crazy questions. It's not defining him. What defines him is his love, despite our questions. But Jesus answered him, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it is come when you will be scattered." So he unfolds it a little bit more. Now you'll be able to cope with this. "You'll be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In Jesus you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." It's going right back to the start. Ruler of the world, tribulation. In me you will have peace. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Man, Jesus is just like driving home this understanding of you are with us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're going to walk this through. My peace is going to be with you, and therefore you're going to be able to handle anything you walk through in this world, but you are going to be missionaries. Jesus had become unquestionable in his authority. They had believed and now replaced their doubt with belief. They had now understood that even if they were being aspirational, that Jesus was coming for a purpose and they were part of that purpose, and that faith filled them even when they weren't going to be faithful. Faith filled them. I mean, Peter was going to deny Jesus. Thomas was going to doubt. You know, they weren't perfected in that moment, friends, but they were faith-filled. To move in the mission of God, let faith fill you so it overcomes doubt. But leave the faithfulness to God. He is the only one who is faithful and true and perfect. But he is going to bring through us peace in the midst of a hostile world. That's one of the key fruits that we're bringing to people. And why do we have this peace? Because he loves us. It's evidence of his truth. Jesus is like, "You're going to all run away from me, but I'm not going to be lonely because I'm loved by the Father. Won't you join me so that when others, when you're alone, when you're scattered, when you're put in places, when you're put into a corner, into a situation, you're not alone. You're loved." You are a member of Christ if you've believed in him. As a member of Christ, our motivations get tuned by the Holy Spirit to do what Christ has asked us to do. As members of Christ, we receive mercy, his glory, and a mission. When the motivation matters, it's because it's Christ's motivation in us that the Holy Spirit brings about. But there is a message of reconciliation that we carry. What are we carrying to bring this peace? We're going to get to these chapters later in the year of 2 Corinthians, but I want to go there now. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 21, knowing now that we're loved by God, listen to these verses. In verse 14 it says, "For the love of Christ controls us." I used to be controlled by fear. I'm now controlled by love. Hostility used to be in my life. Now there's harmony. The tribulations of the world used to overcome me. Now the peace of God has overcome me. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who might live, who live, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one to the according to the flesh, the way they are outwardly. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I mean, that's a declaration of our lives to others. Behold, the news come to me. There's love that's operating, and now I don't have fear. I have faith. I'm controlled by it, and you can engage it. Unification can come. Glorification of Jesus can come. Identification with Christ can come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is to bring the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Those who are loved, those who are known, those who by the Holy Spirit are helped, and now those who he entrusts to appeal to others about what God has done. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. These words are Paul extending what had happened to him and yet saying to every other believer in that place, it's time to be missional in your approach to the message of the gospel. Yes, we can live that with our lives, but a message needs to be conveyed with our mouths. This is how God loves you. The power of the word in your words. Charles Spurgeon says this quote, "We are not called to proclaim philosophies and metaphysics, but the simple gospel. Man's fall, his need for new birth, forgiveness through atonement, and salvation as a result of faith, these are our battle axe and our weapons of war. The Holy Spirit, the helper, helps us to deliver this truth to others that we've received ourselves. The missional church brings the unity of Christ, the worship of Christ, and the mission of Christ to the fore. And the Holy Spirit is involved in it all. The unity of Christ delivers mercy. The worship of Christ delivers magnification of the one that we love. Isn't it amazing when someone joins a family of God and they worship outwardly with their voice, with their heart for the first time? And they magnify the King of Kings because they are now able to. And isn't it amazing when they see the multiplying effect of the work of God in their lives? When you were saved, how many people did you share it with? Are you sharing it with less now? What happened? Did the tribulation get greater or the peace? As we become more knowers of God by the help of the Holy Spirit, we should become more clear. Like Jesus said, we might only be able to talk in illustrations at the start. I don't know, this thing happened to me and God did it. And I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And now we might be more eloquent in our understanding. As Spurgeon says, we might not be able to explain metaphysics and all philosophies that would help mankind, but we might be able to share the gospel that would deliver them out of it. We learn, we hear, we know, we're reminded by the Holy Spirit that this is a powerful gospel. We are made for mission, friends. We are built to last by Christ. That you would be the righteousness of God to a world to reflect on and say, man, we're nowhere near this. We need Christ. And I'm telling you, the world we are in is intimately, daily aware that is a long way from perfection. We are made for mission. If you connect with a unifying God, graft it in, respond to him, the Holy Spirit will be there to do it. If you respond in that way. If you consider, actually, I am amazed that I am able to worship this King, be in his presence. It's a holy thing that he has done in me, that I can stand in his presence and know that I can love, express my love towards him, and he's expressed his love towards me. Then, it is the same Holy Spirit that helps us commit to the mission of God, to opening our lives and our hearts to the full flow effect of engaging people who are in our world. I love Rigby Wallace's quote, "To the depths of our heart, to the ends of the earth, to the things that are closest to us and the things that are furthest to us." The Holy Spirit wants to take us and engage. There's no limit to what He might do in and through you. So I guess the question today, friends, that sits for me and for you is back to that thing. How's the flow? How's the connection? Is this free-flowing in your life in all aspects? Unified, worshiping, missional. Because if we were to do a health check on the church across Australia, Adelaide, maybe coastlands, a healthy church would be deemed to be flowing in all of them if we represent the full work of the Holy Spirit, who's worked on the finished work of Jesus, who's delivering the Father's will and plan. Amen? So maybe this morning it's like, let's unblock some spiritual arteries. See what God wants to do. Let the blood run to your feet. Let it activate your hands. Let it stimulate and clarify your mind. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus that one was won on the cross, the great price that He paid for freely giving it to you, that we could freely give it to others. I really believe in this next season that it's coastlands across the engagements you have in the small and the large that are going to open up the mission of Jesus to people and see that message of reconciliation transform people's lives in the way you know He transforms. Maybe today is the moment where the Holy Spirit comes and reminds you through the word, through the worship, and even in your continued engagement with Him, and He says, remember what I'm doing. Remember who you've identified with. Remember who you glorify. Remember, I'm with you always until the end.